No, 89.9 FM.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is, who shall abide in the tabernacle of the Lord? My scripture comes from Psalm 15, 1 through 5, which states, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up an occasion of blame against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is not respected, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to make interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. My text is Psalm 15:1, which states, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The writer of this psalm is David. Abide means to wait for and to endure without yielding. The tabernacle was a movable worship center for the people of God. It was the place where God's children could meet God for themselves. It was a tent that people worshiped under. To sojourn or dwell there is to be a divinely welcome guest in God's house, the end for which humans were made. The way to heaven, if we would be happy, we must be holy. We are encouraged to walk in that way. David seems to be wrestling with a very serious question concerning the character of a Christian. It is the happiness of glorified saints that they dwell in the holy hill. They are at home there. They shall be forever there. It concerns us to make it sure to ourselves that we have a place among them. God's people are challenge to take a stand for right and righteousness. This is an open challenge. A very plain and particular answer is here given. Those who desire to know their duty will find the scripture a very faithful director and conscience a faithful monitor. A Christian is sincere in his religion. He is really what he professes to be. He endeavors to stand complete in all the will of God. He is just both to God and man, and in speaking to both, speaks the truth in his heart. He scorns and hates wrong and fraud. He cannot reckon that a good bargain, not a saving one, which is made with a lie, and knows that he who wrongs his neighbor will prove in the end to have most injured himself. The terms walks blamelessly and does what is right are general, and the rest of the answer spells out some specific examples. One striking feature of these specifics is that they are matters of character and go beyond that which the laws of the Pentateuch require. Another interesting feature is the social orientation of these specifics, such as they are aimed at promoting the well-being of other members of God's people by speaking honestly, by protecting their welfare and reputation, by promoting their holiness, and by seeking justice above personal gain. He is very careful to do hurt to no man. He speaks evil of no man, makes not of us faults the matter of his common talk. He makes the best of everybody and the worst of nobody. If an ill-natured story be told him, he will disprove it if he can. If not, it goes no further. He values men by their virtue and dutifulness. This child of God must do what is right. His thoughts should be good thoughts and not evil thoughts. In order to be a child of God, you have to learn how to get along with people. In other words, you have to love God and your neighbor. You cannot plot evil against your neighbor. God expects us to live in harmony with one another. We are not to speak evil of others behind their backs. Backbiting creates ill feelings towards others. A child of God cannot go along with those who are evil. They stand on the opposite side of those who oppose God's way. Those who try to serve God try to work together and respect one another. The vile person is the member of God's people who rejects covenant life. Such a person is not respected because he brings disgrace on the God whose people they are. Those who fear the Lord are those who embrace the covenant, and the ideal person honors them. He does not change when he swears to his own hurt, such as he keeps his promises and does not seek to get out of them, even if they end up being costly to him. Because when he swears, he has taken God as his witness. A child of God believes that serious dutifulness put honor upon a man more than wealth or a great name. He honors such, desires their conversation and an interest in their prayers, is glad to show them respect and to do them a kindness. By this, we may judge of ourselves in some measure. Even wise and good men must swear to their own hurt, but see how strong the obligation is. A man must rather suffer loss to himself and his family than wrong his neighbor. He will not increase his estate by force or undue or illegal power or ingenuity or by bribery. He will not, for any gain or hope of it to himself, do anything to hurt a righteous cause. Every true living member of the church, like the church itself, is built upon a rock. FDA proposes putting nutrition information on the front of food packages. The new labels would put saturated fat, sodium, and added sugar directly in front of shoppers to nudge them to make healthier choices. A grocery store aisle in Birmingham, Washington, packaged food often come with a number of health claims, which can make it confusing for people to know what's good or bad for them. By Berkeley Lovelace Jr. and Marina Koff, January 14, 2025, the Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday proposed a new rule for nutrition labels on packaged foods and drinks that is intended to help people make healthier choices at a glance. Under the proposed rule, which shoppers could see as early as 2028, food manufacturers will be required to display levels of saturated fat, sodium, and added sugar on the front of the packaging, in addition to the standard nutrition labels on the back. Packaged foods in the United States often come with a number of health and nutrition claims, which can make it confusing for consumers to know what's good or bad for them, said Lindsay Smith Talley, a nutrition epidemiologist at the University of North Carolina Gillings School of Global Public Health. Fruit drinks, for example, They advertise high levels of vitamin C on the front of the bottle, making them seem like a healthy choice. But at the same time, they are loaded with added sugar, Smith Talley said. The idea is that by placing certain nutrition information directly in front of consumers, they'll be more likely to make health-conscious decisions. We believe that food should be a vehicle for wellness, not a contributor of chronic disease, Rebecca Buckner, the FDA's Associate Deputy Director for Human Food Policy, said on a call with reporters. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is God Loves You. When my son was a teenager, God used him to save a young boy from drowning while whitewater rafting along the Nantahala River. When asked by a reporter how he was able to save the young boy, my son replied, "It was the hand of God." That's the good news of God's love. It reaches out to save us when we are drowning, not from water, but from our sin. From Genesis to Revelation, the story of humanity's lowest depth and God's highest height can be expressed in the 25 beautiful words of John 3:16, which declares, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This great verse portrays God's nature as a God who loves deeply, and it shows God's rescue plan for mankind through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's take a closer look at this great verse. God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest company, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest opportunity, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest attraction, should not perish, the greatest promise, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. God loves you more in 1 second than anyone could love you in a lifetime. But are your feelings or circumstances blocking you from accepting God's love? It doesn't matter if you are young or old, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, tall or short, big or small, single or married, straight or gay, sophisticated or ordinary, black or white, or anyone in between, God still loves you. Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, be encouraged, because God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Trust and obey his word, and know that God is love and God loves you.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise.
Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for the Baptist